Dude, I had this dream that I had telekinesis, and I walked into an A&W root beer, you know, like the restaurant, and I fucked the whole place up, and burgers were flying all around at my doing, at my hands. You know, I said, "Hey, burgers," and I pointed at them, and then I pointed to, like, up in the air, and they all went up in the air. And then and then the root beer was all over the place, too. And it was all my fault, but it was funny, and people looked at me, and they looked at me doing it, and they could tell that I had telekinesis.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want!
With your hosts, Mike Routier
and Blag the Ripper.
Good gracious almighty, Blag. I tell you what, I haven't even heard this show yet, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the best one we've ever done. I guarantee it.
We are featuring a brand new, sick, and sordid film. Mike, I'm so excited about this. Bath Salt Zombies.
Wow, taking the zombie craze to a whole new level, to bad drug level.
They jumped on this quick. Remember last summer there was that footage of the guys, they'd taken some bath salts and the guy was actually eating a bum's face. Well,
right.
Some entrepreneurs jumped on the bandwagon. Dustin Mills directed it, Clint Weiler's producing it, and we spoke to them. Bath Salt Zombies, Mike. This is lowbrow filmmaking at its finest. You know what I'm saying?
Do you even need a movie? I mean, you could just watch that YouTube clip over and over of the guy eating the dude's face.
The guy actually eating his face.
And then right there, bath salt zombie, done.
But this has unattractive women with their breasts out, Mike, and that's always
If I want to see that, I just come over to your house.
On top of that, of course, we're also doing all of our regular features, the Globetrotter.
Going all around the world, but we got something for the ladies as well.
Always in the Estrogen OD, and it came
from
the garage.
It's going to be goddamn scary. Up in
this is going to be wild. Now, look, we've had some deaths this week. You know about them. We're going to address them here early. Mm-hmm. Annette Funicello. Annette's got the hits. Well, right here, Mike.
Oh, getting right to it. Damn dedication.
You know, it's impossible to make these goddamn transitions, man. And then you got to go into a fucking death dedication.
Everybody's working out on the sand from the latest dance craze to a wild handstand now.
Do it! Do it! Do it! Do it!
jerks. Don't tell me. Blag, you're just about to say something. Just don't even tell me, man.
Don't ever tell me what to do, Mike.
We're on the radio right now. Just shut the hell up.
I think we played more relatively new material there than we have in the last 3 years.
To us, this is all brand new. In fact, it's tomorrow for us.
It's actually tomorrow.
Yeah, No Bunny, Do the Fuck Yourself before that. That's another one of those tomorrow tunes. It came out in 2010, but to us, tomorrow. And we started things off with the Stalin's of Sound, El Cajon Beatdown. I'm just loving these guys, man. This is one of my new favorite bands of all time.
They kind of remind me, you know, they're like an American version of Quit Your Day Job. It's not as arty, it's not as Euro, but they got this great kind of new wave, weird feel to them. I'm liking the Stalin's of Sound from down in San Diego. And, of course, No Bunny. I'm going to be playing with this guy.
Dwarves doing the co-headliner there. That's going to be
so
wild.
Stoked about that. Always loved him. If there's one thing I love, it's a dope fiend from Illinois. No Bunny, my hat is off to you. The Shirks, I don't really know shit about that. I think that came from John Gentile, one of the many things that came from John Gentile.
I mean, the secret is Gentile actually sends us a shitload of stuff, and we only use a fraction of it. And every once in a while, we just
sneak one in and steal
take
it.
Take credit for it.
That's so right.
That's one of those.
That's what we're about. It's like we're sampling another broadcaster, Mike.
Yeah, why not? Fuck him. He's not here, so let's just make fun of him. And let's just go Globetrotting.
City of Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dos Minutos with their title track, Dos Minutos, out of their 2006 album, Un Mundo de Sensaciones. Globetrotter, Radio Like You Want. Bow.
Speaking.
Oh, it's wild, fun fucking spot. Says wild to Michael Thatcher. Fucking caught it there.
Yeah.
the Gore Gore Girls. Unquestionably, you'll be talking about it for years. Those who have seen the Gore Gore Girls agree it's the most brutal, the most outrageous, the bloodiest film ever produced. If you have a heart condition, cover your eyes. If you are with a young and impressionable child, please leave this auditorium for the next 2 minutes. The Gore Gore Girls. A maniac is on the loose. A killer whose lust for blood threatens more than the lives of every pretty girl. Never in the history of motion pictures have there been scenes such as these. We caution parents, so no one under 17 will be admitted. The Gore Gore Girls.
Yo, 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 Radio Like You Want. This is John Gentile from Philly Features Editor at punknews.org, and I'm here to bring you some brand new punk rock from the Far East, from the Orient. Today's band is called A Page of Punk, and they're from Japan. And what I love about Japanese hardcore is you can never tell if they're using cliches ironically or if they're using them in earnest. This is a brand new track off their brand new 7-inch, and it's called Kanishi, which means sad.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4!
We hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ooh, 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 ooh. We called it off again last night, but ooh, 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 ooh. This time, I'm telling you, we on. Ever. I'm really gonna miss you picking fights, and me falling for it, screaming that I'm right. And you would hide away and find your peace of mind with some indie record that's much cooler than mine.
Talk to me, but we are never.
get back together with me, Taylor. I'm telling you, I love this girl.
Never.
Mike. It's not even a guilty pleasure for me. She attacks her sexual partners through music.
She's vicious. I tell you what, she goes right for the jugular.
What could be more beautiful? Taylor Swift. I'm feeling it. I'm featuring it. It's where I'm at, Mike.
That belongs in a guilty pleasure, but I don't know. Every time I come over to your pad, you're blasting that thing at 10. Black, black, hey! I see you dancing like some silhouette in the
She's
curtains
cute
there.
Too. She's cute. She's got everything that you need, Mike.
Gentilly, before that, a page of punk he sent us this week by Kanishi. What's the story on that one?
Japanese rockin' stuff. We stole two things from Gentilly this week. It's what we're about.
That on the
I guess we're paying back punknews.org for completely ignoring us for the last month.
We'll get it smoothed out. Before that, another death dedication. This one to Maggie! Fucking car!
I think Waddy's got a dick in his mouth.
Fucking car! He's got a bag of dicks in his mouth. That's his problem. That's why I can't talk.
Maggie, you cunt. Margaret Thatcher's dead. I suggest don't cry for me, Argentina. But who listens to me around
here? Globetrotter before that. What was that? Gilberto Humar sent us that one, right?
Our man Gilberto Humar from Buenos Aires. Dos Minutos.
Don't cry for him.
World War IX. Bath Salt Zombies World War IX, and I have with me Justin Melkman. Justin, what's really going on?
What's really going on? Well, hopefully we're keeping some bath salts off the streets with the movie. It's really a cautionary tale, I would say.
Were you just drawn in by the idea of a bath salt movie, so you wound up doing the theme?
Well, Clint's been a friend and, let's say, a co-worker for a couple of years. He's been distributing my G.G. Allen comic book along with the bobblehead. So he contacted me and he said, do you want to write the theme song to this new zombie movie that he was making? And because we come so cheap, he went ahead and put us in the movie too. So we got to play a show and be the band in the movie, a la the Flying Burrito Brothers and the Trip, you know, that type of thing.
Remember, it's okay to come cheap as long as you come, Justin.
Oh, yeah, of course, certainly.
When you guys knock it out live, what's the vibe?
Very fun, a lot of audience participation, a lot of jumping off the stage, a lot of swinging guitars.
Will there be titties, George?
let's see, have there ever been titties? Probably. I don't know. I usually take the...
Are you looking for testicles instead, Justin?
No.
Well, listen.
Always. No, I usually just sort of... get into the moment and sort of forget the performance until about 3 days later. I usually lose myself that much. I'm not sure what's going on. I feel myself moving from place to place, but beyond that, I can't really tell you a lot of the time what happens. I just kind of lose myself.
You're like Eminem. You're losing yourself in the music. Well, World War IX's newest is Off the Wagon, and we're going to pump another one. This is Cutlass Supreme, World War IX.
Thank you. your middle finger.
Say I don't give a fuck. Doesn't matter where we go, which way the wind may blow. All I need's in front of me. Well, shit, it's the cock.
With Justin Melkman. Now, Justin is playing guitar in World War IX, but you're also a comic artist and writer.
I was always drawing. I was making comics about bands, making comics about drinking too much. And this dude said, hey, this guy who played in a band, he said, hey, man, I'm the guy that plays in the band, and you're the guy that makes comics. And I thought, that sounds really fucking lame, because I don't want to be just the guy that makes comics. So I started playing music. Then I wanted to do like a GWAR thing where I could combine the art and the music. So I just decided to make comics about the band. So it writes itself. All the best things happen while you're playing. So I want to make comics about that.
And the worst things, and that's part of what makes these comics good. Well, Earaches and Eyesores, that's where you kind of deliver on your vision of the rock and roll lifestyle. And then you've got this one here. Slap in the Face, My Obsession with Gigi Allen. Now, we're big Gigi fans here, but he seems to be an obsession with you. What is the attraction to a guy that smells like shit and has a tiny penis?
Well, aside from the obvious, I discovered him when I was in the foulest of moods, and I'm always down to hear a rockin' tune, but I was in a bad place mentally, and this guy comes along and delivers some of the rawest, most raunchy, fun, and angry shit I've ever heard. So I'm already obsessed with music, but this guy was accessible. You know, I got to write him. I was in college, and he wrote me back in like 3 days. You write someone like Gigi Allen, he writes you right back, and...
Because he needs a place to crash.
Yeah.
What is the tie-in here with The Daily Show? Is that just your day gig? I'm trying
that is,
to...
Yeah, that is my day gig. It's an awesome gig, and I've gotten a bunch of drawings on the show, which is cool. But the worlds are pretty separate, you know.
What do you do over there?
I'm a producer, segment producer. I'm handling all the stuff that happens in the studio. I don't go out into the field. It's all like the headline-y stuff, whatever's going on in the news. I work with the writers, and we sort of hash out what's going on, how to talk about it, you know, just sort of current events, day-to-day stuff. It is a non-Gigi Allen type orbit, but, you know, there's plenty of misery going on in D.C. that fills the void.
Fuck it. Let's play some more World War IX on radio like you
want. Excellent.
Everybody's got some kind of job. Everybody's got someone to love.
I'm with Dustin Mills. He is the director of the brand new slasher epic Bath Salt Zombies. Welcome to the show, Dustin.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Now, before we get deep into the zombie issues here, what other Dustin Mills movies should I know about?
My first flick was Puppet Monster Massacre, which is like an all-puppet horror movie. And then I made Zombie A-Hole, which is like a grindhouse, blood and titties type of thing. We just released Night of the Tentacles, which is sort of a send-up of movies from the 80s, like specifically Frank Henenlotter stuff, like Basket Case and Brain Damage. And next month, actually, March 26th, I have a new flick coming out called Easter Casket, which is about a killer Easter bunny.
This movie, Bath Salt Zombies, excited me the minute I saw it, because a lot of times when you hear, you know, low-budget slasher film, you already know everything that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Not in Bath Salt Zombies. This is, as far as I know, really the first face-eating film of the modern era. Am I correct here?
Yeah, as far as I know, I'm not sure anybody else is in it. I think there are other people touching on the whole bath salt thing, but I don't think anybody's done a movie yet besides us.
It almost seems like you have kind of a punk rock aesthetic with your movies. You knock them out quick, and you do it all yourself. Is that the vibe, or are you guys backed by some kind of corporate entity?
Yeah, man, McDonald's funds all of my movies. You know, if you watch, you can see the... No, I'm just kidding. No, it kind of is like that. Actually, Clint and I were just talking about that, because... The music in the movie sort of fits really well with, like, the gritty sort of, like, I hesitate to say thrown together, but that's kind of how you do it. You know, you get the idea, and you're like, all right, how do we do this? And you gather your materials, and you just do it as quickly, as best as you can with what limited, you know, materials and funds you have. And I guess it is sort of similar to, it's like punk rock filmmaking, I guess, yeah.
It's got the immediacy of, you know, ripped from the headlines. It's also got a lot of the classic kind of action movie tropes. You've got your hard-bitten cop, you've got your military guys, you've got your scientist. Are the movies that really influenced this, like the classic B movies of the 50s, just like, hey, we're going to knock this out?
Actually, a lot of my stylistic choices come from, I was born in 85, grew up in the 90s, and then, you know, I watched 80s movies, and I still do, like it was my job. And the 80s movies were themselves throwing back to the movies of the 50s, at least the good ones were, especially in the horror genre. And so it sort of informed my aesthetic and the way I make movies. So it's sort of a big mixed bag of all these influences over the years. But yeah, I mean, that's where it all originates from, I think, yeah. Like Roger Corman and those guys back in the day.
And are you aspiring to, you know, being recognized for making miracles with low budgets, you know, in the hope that somebody's going to come in, recognize the talent, and say, hey, we want you to get behind this bigger project?
You know, not really, actually. I mean, I guess it would be cool, maybe, if, you know, I had money and freedom to do some of the bigger ideas I have, but, like, my aspirations are not to get to Hollywood. I don't really want to do art by committee, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, I'm not rich, I'm not going to get rich doing this, but I like making my wacky bullshit movies and just pumping them out and getting them out there and then kind of growing, you know, a small, loyal fan base. And that's kind of the dream. Like, I don't really want to have, like, $50 million to make G.I. Joe 3 or anything like that, you know?
I shouldn't pass your number on to Francis Ford Coppola or anybody.
You pretty much... You know, I don't even know if they would like my flick. So, I mean, you could give it a shot, I guess, but I don't think that they would give two shits.
Well, Radio Like You Want gives your flick 5 stars, my friend. We're going to play another track, and we're going to be back with Dustin Mills, Bath Salt Zombies.
Thank you.
Dustin Mills. Now, Dustin, you've made this new slash horror drug comedy classic, Bath Salt Zombies, ripped from the headlines. I got to ask you about the nudity. You got a lot of just regular girls to take their tops off.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that's part of the motif in this movie, right? Because the bath salts make you want to rip your clothes off. But how do you talk a bunch of girls who aren't getting paid much money into taking all their clothes off? And I say this purely academically, Dustin.
You know, that's actually something that I've been asked several times before, and I talk about it a lot with other filmmakers. And it's like, the key to getting people to get nude is just to ask them nicely and then not be a fucking creep about it. You know what I mean?
Wow, I've never tried that. Maybe that should be... Maybe I ought to go that direction. So you just said to these normal girls, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you showed full bush and titties in my movie.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, like, I write the script, I write the nudity in, because to me, like, the nudity is kind of an important part of, you know, the, like, the low-budget aesthetic, and especially with very normal-looking gals. Like, I don't really have any desire to shoot chicks who look like porn stars, you know what I mean? It's much more interesting to have these more normal people, like, you know, gals you would see on the street or at the store that are your friends. I give them a script. I'm like, hey, this has nudity. Will you do it? If they say no, I hire someone else. If they say yes, then we do it. I mean, it's not really a complex process.
And are you able to, like, pay at least a minimal amount to the crew and actors on these films, or is it really just all volunteer kind of?
You know, it depends on the movie. It depends on how much money we have available. But I always make sure people know that right up front. You know, I always say, hey, you know, like, we don't have enough money to pay anybody, so it's volunteer if you come on this. Or if we have money, then I'm like, listen, you know, if you come and work for a day, I can give you $100 or whatever. I mean, that's all for the actors. I really don't have a crew. Actually, most of the time, Brandon Falkhill, who plays Richie in the movie, if he's not on screen, he's helping me with crew, but otherwise it's just me.
So you light everything, shoot everything, as well as conceiving of the whole thing. And do you make a storyboard, or do you kind of wing it when you're out there?
Actually, Bath Salt Zombies was the first one we did storyboards for. So some of those action sequences were kind of drawn in, like, comic book form before we started.
It seems like there's an influence of sort of lowbrow stuff like comics and punk rock and these kind of things. Is that what you came up digging, or are you pretty much a straight-to-the-movies kind of guy?
Oh, no, man, I'm, like, music and books and comic books and anime, and, like, I just like lots of different art forms. They end up being, like, sort of pastiched into my stuff. I mean, Bath Salt Zombies is a really good example. It especially draws from, there's this new trend, Japanese cinema, these low-budget movies like, I don't know if you've seen, like, Machine Girl, Tokyo Gore Police, Mutant Girl Squad, any of these wacky-ass Japanese gore movies.
I missed those, Dustin, but tell me what happened in them.
Watching, they're all on Netflix, and they're worth a watch, but that colored a lot of the way the action and the prosthetics and the gore and stuff happened in Bath Salt Zombies. I really wanted to make it like one of those movies.
Is there going to be a follow-up to Bath Salt Zombies? I think this is just screaming for a sequel.
I don't know how much I can say about it, but I know that he has an idea. I've got a lot of ideas, and we know the logical progression of where it'll go. So if it warrants a sequel, the way it's being received right now, it's getting some pretty good reviews, we might be able to do it. So I'd say it's definitely a possibility, and I hope that we get to.
Dustin Mills, thank you for your time. Bath Salt Zombies is the movie.
Uptown, I believe.
Uptown? You headed into Harlem, man.
Well, you just keep on the tail of that jukebox, and there's an extra 20 in it for you.
Hey, man, for $20, I'll take you to a Ku Klux Klan cookout.
This is Dustin Mills, director of Bath Salt Zombies, and you're listening to Radio Like You Want.
Well, there's bath salts everywhere.
Every fucking world.
And I think that maybe someone else was there. Maybe they got you some bad shit. Maybe they did too much. Beat the fuck out.
125th. You got a honky on your tail.
Torn your face.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
That was fucking sweet.
Don't listen to him, Timmy.
Who is he?
He's heading east.
Can't miss it. It's like following a cue ball.
That's the zombie.
That's the car.
Look out, say. Timmy's mom.
Sure hope you make friends easy. Right on, brother. He's heading on in.
Enjoy, fuckers.
I'm speaking with Clint Wyler. He is one of the masterminds behind this great new zombie flick, Bath Salt Zombies.
Thanks, Blag. Thanks for having me on.
Now tell me about this movie. This is like one of those grassroots slasher hack 'em up movies that just comes from nowhere. How did you guys jump on the bath salt bandwagon so quickly and get this movie out?
Well, yeah, man, that's the whole thing. It's like, reading about all the crazy shit that was happening, it was like, I kind of got obsessed with it, so I thought it'd be cool to just take it a step further and develop the concept of a horror movie, and I had a good director in mind, and he was able to bring it to life, so.
So what got you going were those news reports from Florida about the people on bath salts, which are a kind of designer drug. They're obviously not bath salts. Who gnawed on another guy's face, right?
Yeah, that's the one in particular. There's some other ones about, you know, a guy stealing his neighbor's goat when he was dressed in women's clothes and doing obscene things with it. And, you know, a number of just really fucked up, crazy occurrences that could have made even crazier in a film. So that's what we did.
Isn't it true that with this bath salts thing, people's internal temperature gets very high, so they almost always rip their own clothes off?
Exactly, yeah, they start sweating and...
I mean, it's tailor-made for a cheap movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the things that led us to do a lot of female nudity, was the fact that all these characters were going to be heavily inducing bath salts, so you get a lot of TNA in this one.
You came up with a treatment, and then you got it to a director. So who was the director?
Yeah, I gave the treatment to Dustin Mills, who is a filmmaker in Ohio, and he's released a bunch of different great horror films that we've released through MVD Entertainment Group. His first was called Puppet Monster Massacre, and it was just an obscene horror movie made with puppets entirely, and had a really cool cult following, and it was really good. And he's followed up that up with a bunch of other films like Zombie A-Hole, Night of the Tentacles, just to name a few. But yeah, he's a really talented guy. He knows what he's doing, and if somebody gives him a bunch of money someday, like, he'll be able to make a killer movie.
MVD is a distributor out of Pennsylvania who distributes a lot of various DVDs. So were they behind this as producers?
Yeah, they supported us with the executive producing title. And I served as the producer and co-writer and basically guided the project and guided Dustin. But he was the one that really did all the work, casting, editing, filming, and, you know, and writing the whole script. He really deserves a lot of credit for this. I simply came up with the idea of this super potent formula for bath salts causing crazy zombie-like effects in junkies and developed that. But yeah, he's the guy that brought it to life.
You know, it's the zombies eating faces that makes for a lot of the great effects of the movie. I mean, I can't think of another face-eating film this year that moved me like this one.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, well, we're going to go to some music. We're going to be back with Bath Salt Zombies, Radio Like You Want.
Yeah.
Richie, what the fuck? You've been holding on to me, Bubbles. I don't like that. Is that bullshit the shit?
What?
Is that bullshit the shit?
I don't understand the question!
Salts! Is it salts?
Yeah, man, but you don't wanna...
Shut up!
Man, if you take that shit, you are going to die, alright?
Ha ha ha!
The term bath salts refers to a family of designer drugs containing cathinone substitutes. Their effects are similar to amphetamines and cocaine. They resemble legal bathing products, hence the name bath salts. Bath salts packaging often states not for human consumption in an effort to avoid FDA action. However, these substances chemically have nothing to do with actual bath salts. Bath salts users may experience headaches, heart palpitations, nausea, hallucinations, paranoia, and panic attacks. The news media have reported associations with violent behavior and an increased tolerance for pain. While they are similar to amphetamines in that they cause stimulant effects in the synapses, very little is known about how bath salts interact with the brain or how they are metabolized by the body. Bath salts can be swallowed, snorted, smoked, or injected.
Chapter 37, and we will all sing hymns.
Back to the makers of Bath Salt Zombies. Now, Clint, we don't want to spoil too much, I guess. We want people to go out and see this film, and they can get it through MVD Entertainment, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Talk about face-eating. What do you think is the crowning face-eating achievement in this film?
Well, I mean, the concert scene is pretty crazy. You have a lot of gruesome attacks in that scene. The band World War IX is playing their hit song, Bender Royale, and people in the crowd just, you know, the people that are on bath salts just start turning into zombified face munchers, and they just go crazy. But yeah, I would say that's the best scene for that.
You got a lot of bands to appear on your soundtrack. Tell me about some of the bands. Of course, the Dwarves are on there, but some other bands that appear in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Dwarves, the Meat Men, Annie Scene, Murder Junkies, to name a few of the, you know, higher caliber bands. And then you've got some up-and-comers like World War IX from Brooklyn, and they penned the theme for Bath Salt Zombies, which is a great one-minute wonder. And then you've got like American Speedway from the Philly area, Bug Girl, Combat Crisis, and oh yeah, the Gaggers from London. So you got a really good hardcore punk rock soundtrack to go along, and most of the songs are about drug use or abusing alcohol, those type of things, so it really fits in well.
How could you go wrong? So is the soundtrack available separate from the DVD, or do you get them all in one, or how's it being packaged?
We're basically giving it away on a download card to people that buy it directly from the website, so it's sort of, you know, an incentive to buy direct from BathSaltZombies.com or SteveSound.com, and then you get a pretty cool little card that has the Bath Salt Zombies poster art on it. Redeem the code and get all the tracks that way.
And who did the poster?
The poster was done by Craig Holloway. He's a really talented illustrator.
I'm familiar with Craig. He did a great drawing of the Dwarves that he gave me in Texas, which I was very, very impressed with.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing's awesome. There's so much going on in that. But yes, so you know how talented he is. He's from Austin, so a lot of good things come from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bath Salt Zombies. Now tell me, like, are they hitting you up from Sundance now, from the Berlin Film Festival? Where does a little indie horror slasher flick go these days?
Well, we're trying to do some screenings in select cities. I mean, we just did one in Philly where Combat Crisis played. It was pretty cool. I mean, I've got one lined up in Brooklyn next month, and we're going to do a little event at Forbidden Planet there in Manhattan, the big comic shop. But as far as Sundance and those type of things, yeah, that's not happening.
Well, I think you guys are the indie darlings of the year, Clint. I think Bath Salt Zombies is my favorite slasher flick in a long time. I give you guys great props.
Dude, thanks, man. It means a lot.
You can go to BathSaltZombies.com. You can order this thing. Great soundtrack, great movie. Clint Weiler, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Blag. Pleasure as always.
Whoa, interview barely over and the Wolfbane is already blooming. All right, it came from the garage this week. I tell you what, spring is on its way. And here's one from the Summer of Love. Jefferson Handkerchief, I'm allergic to flowers.
My baby is gentle, and she's warm.
Is in the air. People are joyous everywhere, but Jefferson Handkerchief, they got a bone to pick, don't they? They're allergic to flowers.
Jefferson Handkerchief.
I know Jefferson Handkerchief. You know, it's just a bunch of studio guys, right? Just got together for a laugh.
Well, speaking of studio guys, before that we heard The Hogs, which I believe is the Chocolate Watch Band in the studio with none other than Frank Zappa, and we threw in a bunch of crazy dialogue.
That's going deep there.
Isn't that wild? 1967, and we threw in Bath Salt Zombies dialogue. We're getting all up in this.
Yeah, it's getting customized in here. A little James Bond for you. Funky Cab, right? Well, that's Live and Let Die action going on. We got, by request, Gigi Allen, Fucking the Dog. And a couple from World War IX in there.
We even heard the Misfits with Astro Zombie.
It's all in there. Zombies, this, fucking dogs. I tell you what, it's all about the B-movie culture. So who, now, you interviewed everybody in that
everybody
one.
Everybody involved with this thing.
Production guy, the lighting assistant. I mean, you covered all the goddamn bases.
The part that was most fascinating to me was when he was talking about getting unattractive girls to take their clothes off. You know, Mike, this is what rock and roll is all about. Yeah,
I figured you'd explored every aspect of that.
Well, I know about it, but it's our listeners.
I see. You're getting the world out there.
And speaking of
the world...
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
Diamonds again, for the softly caring, touching, secret agent side of Radio Like You Want.
Quite possibly the cutest girl on television in the 1960s.
Good pick here, Barbara Feldon, 99, Secret Agent 99.
From the Get Smart TV show, folks. I don't think you've heard this one. This is 99.
So you
think you see a pussycat you'd like to pet. You start to come on strong to see how far you'll get. You feed the pussycat that I'm a tiger lie. You don't know that you're messing with 99. You brag about your motorboat and Cadillacs, how you cheated about a million on your income tax. It is until they slap you with a great big fine that you know that you've been messing with 99. Fixes a martini that is out of sight. Your tongue begins to loosen cause you're all alone. But that ain't an olive, buddy, that's a microphone. You're a foreign spy who wants to come in from the cold. And you've never been uncovered, you're so self-controlled. But when they find your body floating down the Rhine, that's a lesson, don't go messing with 99. You're the highest paid informer for a Balkan state. On your night off, you invite her for a dinner date. But when she freshens up, you'll end up unemployed. Cause that ain't a lipstick, buddy, that's a Polaroid. So listen, tigers, this is what it's all about. A pussycat will get you if you don't watch out. Though she may send shivers running up and down your spine, she is doing her caressing with a tiny Smith and Wesson, and that means that you've been messing with 99.
This is Justin Melkman from World War IX, and my guilty pleasure, without a doubt, were always on my mind, the Pet Shop Boys version.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should. Maybe I don't love you quite as often as I could. Little things I should have said and done.
Always on my mind-numbingly bad, like the Pet Shop Boys, by request from
Pet
World
Shop.
War IX.
The Pet Shop Boys almost, you know, this almost sounds like so many other, all the other Pet Shop Boys songs that it kind of cancels the kitsch out of it of being a crazy cover, but whatever.
We got to thank everybody involved with Bath Salt Zombies.
That's quite a list.
Justin Melkman from World War IX. We talked to Clint Wyler, the producer, and of course, Dustin Mills, the director. Thank you so much. Go out and see this film now.
RadioLikeYouWant.com is the place to be if you want all the info and the down low on this show. We got all the podcasts, all the set lists, up and coming, everything you need to know. Plus, we got our new record button. You got to get hip to the record button. Interviews at RadioLikeYouWant.com is where you send us the tracks. And we're featured on PunkNews.org Thursday at 7 p.m. on PunkRadioCast.com, Saturday, 2 p.m., RealPunkRadio.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Blag coming up is Mud Honey. Till next week, you will always be on my mind.
Radio like you want, bitch.
I never took the time. You are always on my mind. You are always on my mind. So tell me that your sweet love hasn't died.
Greedy Worldwide.